of your program, I'd like for you to turn to the very back of your program. And on the back page, you'll find the scripture we're going to follow very closely today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to read it now in the New King James Version. And it reads, "He, God, has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." So I want to continue our discussion on enjoy the good. Enjoy the good. And I wasn't really planning on demonstrating it, but since Matt got these candy bars up here, I might as well go ahead and enjoy the good while I'm, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. If I can figure out how to open it, I'm going to enjoy it. I asked my wife if she had a mint because I just felt like I should have something. And she said she did not. And I said, but you know, those candy bars are right there. So I. Mm-hmm. It's good too. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy the good. Well, when King Solomon wrote this, he was writing to Israel for them to appreciate the good that God had done. Now, like our nation, there's always some other conflicts and things that are going on. But in spite of what else is going on, God says something good is going on in your personal life. One good thing is you woke up this morning. And there was a lot of people. My dad used to like to say there's people who are just better accidentally than we are on purpose. We're doing it on purpose, trying our best, and they just so happen to accidentally be better than we are. But they didn't wake up this morning. So when God wakes you up, it is on purpose. God, you didn't just accidentally get up. God did that on purpose, and he did it because God today has decided he wanted to show you his goodness. God woke you up so he could be good to you. That's why he wakes us up, that he might show us his goodness. And if we will receive that goodness, then God then also will put something in our hearts. And I'm going to try to lift that up today, what God puts in our hearts if we will receive his goodness. And so here it is. God has made everything beautiful in his time. So the first thing I want you to know, the first part of the outline, if something's not beautiful right now in your life, it means that you just got to give it time. Because the scripture says God has made everything beautiful in his time. Now, I don't do it anymore. Some 10, 15 years ago, I decided I loved chocolate cake so much, I decided I needed to start making my own cake. I'm just at home, I need to try to make a cake myself instead of buying everybody else's cake. Get the ingredients and make a cake. I tried it once, didn't work. I tried it twice, didn't work. Tried it three times, didn't work. I said, you know what, I better forget that. That's not my calling. But it is important for us to recognize that God has said, if we give it time, and I was just impatient. I didn't give it time. It may take more than three times. It may take 30 times. It may take longer than that. But God says, but if you will stick with it and give it time, our God, if we will have trust in him and faith in him, our God will make it beautiful. Solomon, he didn't make a stretch here. He wasn't going out on a limb here when he says everything. Somebody say everything. Everything beautiful in his time. What he's doing is he's letting us know only God can do that. I don't care how much time you give it. If God isn't in it, it's not going to be beautiful. But if God is in it, and you allow God to have his own way in it, every relationship, every friendship, everything you get involved in, God is able to make it beautiful. Now, it's also true that God may be telling you, this is not beautiful for you, you need to get out. He's got a different determination for you. But I want you to know the scripture is true that everything God has made to happen in your life. Now, if God didn't make it, and I have to tell you this part. There are some things we make. We try to blame it on God. We say God did this. God, no. You did that. And it may not ever be beautiful if you do it. But the scripture here says, God, what God has made. And God, he makes affirmations. You remember in Genesis, he made the first day and he said it was good. And he made creation. He said it was good. He made humankind, male and female, and he said it's good. When God puts his affirmation on it, God says it's good, then it will be beautiful in its time. We need to ask God to make it happen in our lives because what God makes, God is able to make it good and make it beautiful. So he says everything is beautiful. Everything God has made, God makes it, and God doesn't make any. In fact, Jesse Jackson used to say it. I used to work at Operation Push when I was first called in the ministry. And at Operation Push, Jesse Jackson used to love to say, he said it every day, met on Saturday. And he loved to say, and it's a building about like this size. He would say, God didn't make any junk. Every Saturday, he always said that God didn't make any junk. We were a lot of poor and a lot of disenfranchised and there's a lot of persons that were just struggling, and he would remind us God did not make any junk. And my brothers and sisters, it's still true. God didn't make any junk. What God has made is beautiful. You need to give it time. Give it your patience. Give it your love. God has made everything beautiful in his time. Then it says also, somebody say also. And this is the next part of your outline, second part of your outline. Also, God has put eternity in their hearts. Do you not know everybody you meet has eternity in their hearts? Now, they don't always acknowledge it. They don't always even know it's there. But the scripture says God has put eternity in every heart. That's why those of us that are trying to be spiritual, we're just trying to reach for that which is eternal, which God has already put in us. It's something that God has done, and you and I get an opportunity to connect with it. And if we will connect with it and let it come to the forefront, it will make us better. Jesus said that you are the light of the world. He's talking about that eternity that God has put in our hearts. If we will allow the light of Christ to shine in us, then the whole world will see that we have eternity residing in us. And once they see it in you, they will recognize that it's also in them. Many times when we see somebody else, we see either a part of them that we would like to be a part of us. There are certain men, and Jesse Jackson was one of them. I always liked being around him. In fact, I was telling somebody, I got a picture of me standing with him. The late brother James Bradley took me a picture with Jesse Jackson. We were at some conference here in Los Angeles, and I always liked being around him. As a young man, when I was first called in the ministry, I loved being around him. You know, he used to tell me he thought I was. Now, he didn't tell me this right away, but maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years later, told me he thought I was a spy. He did, because I was a member of a church that was the opposite of Jesse Jackson. It was J.H. Jackson, and J.H. Jackson, who was president of the National Baptist Convention, and I was there at the Olivet Baptist Church, and I loved Dr. Jackson's preaching, and he preached faith, he preached Christ, but I also loved the action that I saw in Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson believed in protest. He believed in fighting for what's right. And so I was going to both. Saturday, I was Operation Push, and Sunday, I was at the Olivet Baptist Church. Olivet probably was the most conservative church in Chicago. And Jesse Jackson was at the most progressive place in Chicago. So I was at both the most progressive and the most conservative. So Jesse said, you must be spying on us. You must be. But what I was doing was I was learning how to bring the two together. I still have conservative values, but I still think that being progressive is how we want to respond to those that are not treating everybody fairly. And so there is a part of how do I bring both of myself together? These two seem like warring factions. God has a way of mitigating things if you let his Holy Spirit take the lead. And it's true in your life. There are going to be some things that will war against some other part of you. Some of you want a tithe, but it's a fight. Can't quite get that purse open. That wallet gets stuck. That means something's going on, and you want to just continue to ask God, you take the lead. Because if I trust you, I know you'll make everything beautiful in this time. If I trust you, you're going to do what's right, and you're going to show me how to do what's right. And so here in this text, he tells us God has put eternity in our hearts. That eternal, what's eternal is truth. Every lie will die. It may die in your lifetime, it may die after you pass away, but every lie will die. But the truth, eternity, it lives forever. There is no end to truth. And so God said, I put the truth in your heart. I put eternity in their hearts. And so part of what we need to do is do some surgery on some hearts. I ask God to help us to expose the eternity that's there. And God will do that. We got to just give him time. God will do it. He has put eternity in our hearts. That's why it's important for us to tell the whole world about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because eternity is already in us. We need to open it up. We need to expose it to our Christ. Let me get to the last thing. Well, two other things I want to say real quickly. It tells us here, verse 12, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice. It's very part of your outline. Brother, I know that nothing is better than to rejoice. I want you to write that in. You might have to write it by faith because a lot of you don't believe it. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. I was talking in the men's ministry, the spiritual men's class this morning. I was talking to them about this verse 16, which says, it's only two words in verse 16. First Thessalonians 5, 16. It takes longer to say First Thessalonians 5, 16 than it does to say the verse. Because the verse just says, rejoice always. Only two words in the whole verse. But those two words, most of the time, doesn't make sense in most of our lives. Rejoice. Heaven says rejoice always. And I say, but heaven, do you see who's in the White House? Rejoice always. They're rounding people up. They're taking away rights. And what? How can we rejoice? Rejoice always. That's a tough command. What if your husband isn't listening to you? Rejoice always? My wife don't have that problem, but some of you, yeah. What if your wife not listening? Rejoice always? The scripture says, rejoice always. Now, last year I had to go to emergency care, and this verse popped into my head. And you know what I said? I ain't doing that. I'm in the emergency room. I don't feel good. And why would God send rejoice into my spirit? You know, it's 10, 12 hours in those emergency rooms. But finally, I got out, and the Lord said, rejoice, because I'm bringing you through. You're not in it by yourself. You're not here alone. Rejoice. Even when it's tough, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, it's right to rejoice because God is with us. He's already declared, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And if you don't have no other reason to rejoice, rejoice in that. He'll never leave me. Rejoice always. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, I think it is, it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to endure the worst thing a human being can go through because I see there's joy on the other side. And so when we have to endure something, we don't look at what we're going through right now. We look at what the Lord is bringing us through. He didn't let you come to that to leave you there. He let you come there because he's bringing you through that. That's the reason to rejoice. My God is making a way out of no way. My God has already promised he's going to make my cup overflow. My God has said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. My God has said that he's going to pour the oil over my head and I'm going to rejoice in him. We rejoice in what the Lord has promised and that he's faithful and true to his promise. Rejoice always. But let me get to the last thing. I'm going to be finished now. The last thing is this. Verse 13, and also that every man, every woman should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor or all of her labor. It is the gift of God. My brothers and sisters, we rejoice in the gift of God. Let me try and show you what that gift of God is, and then I'll be finished for today. It tells us, it is important, verse 12 says, there's nothing better than to rejoice. But when it tells us to rejoice, please note this next sentence. It says rejoice, and then it says, and, somebody say and. You're not just rejoicing, and to do good. It's not just rejoicing, it's not just being happy, it's not just being glad, but to do good. And when you do good, you got something to be glad about. Because there is nobody good. Jesus said there's none good except the Father. And we don't have the ability to do good on our own. It's only through the Father that we're able to do good. And so what we end up rejoicing in is not in our good, but in the good of the Father who's working through us. And if you rejoice in the good of the Father that's working through us, then you recognize it is a gift of God. And so, my brothers and sisters, I conclude with this idea that it is the gift of God. It is the gift of God to do good. It is the gift of God to be a blessing to somebody else. It is the gift of God to try to encourage a brother or a sister. It is the gift of God to try to smile and hug and show love to somebody else. It is a gift of God. And so as we go forth trying to do good, we're going forth trying to be that gift that God wants to use to bless somebody else's life. And if you can get outside of yourself, and see how you can be a blessing to somebody else, then God then will start to magnify your life. He wants to amplify your life because he wants to have some examples of good. You and I are to be gifts to this whole world from our God. And the gift that we are is that we do good. Put it in your mind, put it in your heart, put it in your body. God, today I want to do good. Smile at somebody. I know it's hard for some of you. Smile at somebody. I want to do good. I want to encourage somebody. I want to bless somebody. I want to lift somebody. I want to tell somebody that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He's a good God. He gives us this gift of God. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Let me finish my chapter. Man, woman, boy, girl, God wants to do good in your life. He's put eternity there. If you will acknowledge it, if you will acknowledge the eternity that God has put in your life, God will come in and make himself known. If there one, we invite you to come.
I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me
in such a special way.
Yes, I praise you.
I lift you, and I magnify
your name.
That's why my heart
is filled with praise.
I love you,
Lord, today, because you care for me
in such a special way.
Out now. Our responsive reading was from the 24th Psalm. It is probably, I think it is my favorite psalm. And whenever I start to feel down or challenged, I go to this 24th Psalm. I know it by heart, I know the whole psalm. But I especially like part of it that's not even printed here today. And it is that part that says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Then it asks this question, well, who is the King of glory? And the psalmist responds, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory. That's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for the King of glory. The King of glory, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Whatever you face, the King of glory shall come in. He'll win that battle. He's never lost a battle. You need the King of glory in your life. He'll fight every battle for you, and he'll win. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, the great shepherd of the sheep, the firstborn from the dead, the blood of the everlasting covenant, even our Savior Jesus, our Christ, our King of glory, the everlasting Father, to him being the majesty, glory, and majesty, and power, now and forever. Amen. Blessings to you all.